Oh, Father, now God, this morning we do honor and give thanks to thee, the God who is, who was, and is to come. We now bless, O Lord, this time that our word is declared. May thou, O God, bless the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, I give thanks and I pray. And the church say, amen. It is every homeowner's nightmare. Cracks on the wall. Not only does it ruin the seamless beauty of your home, but it makes your home kind of suspect when you want to resell it. But you know, the problem with cracks on the wall is not because of the drywall, neither is it because of the studs or the wooden frames. On the contrary, the problem usually stems from the foundation. It is either the foundation is faulty or the foundation is settling. So whenever cracks do appear on the wall in your home, it is a mere reaction to an unstable or perhaps a faulty foundation. But you know, it is not only homes that experience cracks. Human relationships such as families can experience cracks. And these cracks can come in form of dysfunctionality, such as favoritism, conflict, strife, rivalries, abuses, which ultimately can result in what I call a dysfunctional family dynamics. And like the owls, the crack is not because of the institution of the family itself. Rather, it is because of a faulty foundation that has been laid by the persons who are part of this family. And for many who are part of a dysfunctional family dynamics, it is always heartbreaking when the place that is meant to be an oasis of security and support and unity becomes a place of conflict, rivalry, and abuse, the mental and emotional impact is always far-reaching. Unfortunately, unhealthy family dynamics is not only limited to unbelievers. There are many in our churches who are either product of such dysfunctionality or presently in a dysfunctional family setting. And since the Holy Spirit's goal for each one of us is holistic spiritual health, that is to conform each one of us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means God wants us to be healed from this mental and emotional damage that is often caused by such dysfunctionality. Because left alone, this will definitely hinder our spiritual health and our spiritual growth. And the healing this morning, I believe, can be found nowhere else but in the Word of God. And this is what I intend to explore this morning from the pages of Scripture. Now, as a preamble, let me first take a step back and kind of trace the history of the institution of the family from the Word of God. When the Lord God in Genesis chapter 2 established the institution of marriage, he essentially established the family. The one flesh union of man and wife will produce offsprings that will make up a family. Thus, like the institution of marriage, the establishment of a family, a human family, was done by God. And it's an integral part of his overarching plan for creation and humanity. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the instruction, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Even after the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, the human family unit remained perfectly in God's plan. Though it would be different because of sin, yet God had a plan for the human family. And throughout biblical history, God has both executed the plan through family as well as his preservation. In Genesis chapter 6, when God saw that the sin of humanity was great upon the earth and he decided to destroy it by flood, he preserved not only Noah, but also his entire family. In Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abram, he called him to leave the land of Mesopotamia and follow him to the land he will show him. Abram came with his family. And God gave him a promise as well. And the promise was that he, Abraham, will be a blessing to all the families of the earth, because through him, they will be blessed. In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ, though conceived by the Holy Spirit, was actually placed in a human family. Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his surrogate father. So we can see that in God's economy, families are very important. That is why we just don't drop from the sky like Superman, but God places us in a family. Now, while in life we choose so many things, but one thing we cannot choose is our family reproductively. In essence, it is God who actually places us in a family. And at times, we can be born into a family with a healthy family dynamics. Father and mother love each other, and you are surrounded by great love and raised up in the fear and admiration of God. If this is your history, what a great blessing that is. But at times, we might be born into a family that already has an unhealthy family dynamics. Father might be absent, or there might be an alcoholic in the family, or abuse might be in your family, or there might just be favoritism that is causing sibling rivalry. Or there might be all kinds of dysfunctionality in that home. When this is the case, the mental and emotional problems always tend to abound to those in this family. And you know what? There are biblical examples of such unhealthy family dynamics. So this morning, let's look at a couple. In the story of Isaac and Rebekah, we read that Isaac married Rebekah and they could not conceive. And Isaac prayed and the Lord heard this prayer and Rebekah conceived twins in her womb. And when she conceived those twin boys, she gave birth to Esau and Jacob. Genesis chapter 25. And when the boys got older, we begin to see something that was unhealthy going on in this family. Isaac, the father, loved Esau because he had a taste for games, and Esau was a hunter. But Rebekah, on the other hand, loved Jacob because Jacob was more like a homebody. In other words, each of these parents had their favorite. This eventually led to deception. Isaac deceived his father to get Esau's blessing, or Jacob deceived his father, rather, to get Esau's blessing. Then came the estrangement. Jacob had to flee from his home because his brother Esau was up against him, wanted to get him. This is a classic example of a family dynamics that is faulty. And you see such faulty family dynamics in the family of Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah, rather, did not promote cohesiveness, but rather division. Then you fast forward to the story of Joseph. Interestingly, Jacob, their father, who grew up in an unhealthy family dynamics with his father, Isaac, and Rebekah, he also repeated the same land behavior by favoring Joseph above his brothers. And what this ultimately led to was an unhealthy family dynamics, because Joseph's brothers became very envious of Joseph. And over time, they began to connive together to get rid of Joseph. This led to the kidnapping of Joseph and ultimately the selling of Joseph into slavery in Egypt. You know, you can see the faulty family dynamics there, which came as a result, again, of favoritism. There is now envy, there is conflict, there is rivalry within this family dynamics. And what you can see from scripturally these two examples is that what we experience today contemporarily is not strange or foreign to the scriptures. That there are issues that has happened in scripture in the same pattern as we face today in our contemporary world. But this is the question this morning I want to try to address. You know, what do you do when you find yourself caught in the matrix of a dysfunctional family? You see, that's what I want us to look at this morning. What exactly are we to do when we find that our family dynamics are not as healthy as we want it to be? Well, this is where the Bible gives us some clear directions and answers. And this morning, I want to look at these answers to help anyone under my voice who is in the family dynamics that is that's extremely unhealthy and is creating within you a mental and emotional stress. The first thing here I want you to know is this. You need to operate on the principles of love. Again, the first way to live in a family dynamics that's unhealthy, you need to always operate on the principles of love. You know, when dealing with your family dynamics as a Christian, one thing that shall always govern your word and your deed is love. You know, God wants us to operate in the principle of love. And you might say, what does that mean? Simply, it is that unconditional love of God that God himself shows towards us, what we know as agape. That is exactly what God wants to be displayed by you in that family. God wants it to control and regulate everything you do in that family. So let's look at scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. The Apostle Paul will write, "Let all that you do be done in love." Again, pay attention to what the apostle is saying here. He's saying, listen, as a Christian, let all that you do, word and deed, be done in love. Again, you go to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. The apostle Paul will write, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love." Again, pay attention to that word. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering, a fragrant to God, as an aroma pleasing to God. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2. So you see what the apostle is trying to say. Walk in love. That means pattern your life according to the principles of love. Then you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. The apostle Paul again will write, "And the Lord may cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you." Then you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. John will write, "And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." So you can see all these biblical instructions. These biblical instructions is calling us as believers to always operate especially in a dysfunctional setting. We must operate by the principles of love because that is how our light shines. That is what makes us different. That is what makes us glow in darkness. That is what makes us radiate in darkness, that men will see the uniqueness about you, that you and a family infused with conflict and strife, but you stand out as a person that exemplifies the love of Jesus. But then someone may say to me, but wait a minute, Pastor Wally. You know, you just don't know my family. Well, I tell you what, I don't. But God does. But you know, I want to tell you something this morning. As a Christian, it is not really what people do to you that God wants you to focus on. It is not what people do to you that God wants you to focus on. Rather, it is what you do to others that is what the Lord wants you to focus on. It is not whether I'm in a family where there's so much antagonism, where there's so much attack against me. It is what am I doing in return? And the Apostle Paul will make this clear to us when he told us in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 17. He said, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen to me, loved ones. That is how we deal in a dysfunctional setting. It is what we do. Watch all the apostles listed in Romans chapter 12. It's what you do, not what they do to you. No matter how much they do to you, you need to respond in a way that communicates love. When they're hungry, you feed them. When they're thirsty, you give them a drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coal upon their head. In other words, they will see how bad they are through your life of obedience and love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I also interject this morning. You know, you want to understand that the same way God deals with us, isn't it? That though we are dysfunctional as humans, though we act out of character as humans, though we do things that displeases God as humans, but God operates on the principle of love. God willed to love each one of us regardless of how we act or how we live out our lives. So loved ones, this morning, again, I want you to understand this very clearly. To operate in the family dynamics that is faulty, you need to operate on the principle of love. The second thing I believe the Bible wants us to do is this. You must have to put in place, I say this every time, healthy and achievable boundaries. Again, I think it's important to understand this. I always teach you this every single time that, you know, let me just break it down so you can understand it very clearly this morning. You know, boundaries are designed to state limitations. You know, how far you can go or how near others can get to you. I want you to understand that's just a layman's definition of what boundaries should be or what boundaries are. And you know what? While in an unhealthy family dynamics, we must operate on the principle of love. We must never neglect accountability. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. You must never neglect accountability. Accountability is an example of healthy boundaries. You know, let me give you an example. You know, when you hold a person accountable, you are sending a message to them that their lifestyle or what they are doing will not be tolerated. On the other hand, if you remove every boundary, and say, listen, because I'm operating on the principle of love, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just going to let you get away with whatever you want to do. You are tolerating a belligerent behavior that ultimately will destroy further that relationship. But boundaries are meant to say, listen, some things are not going to be acceptable. I'm going to love you with the love of Jesus. But some things are not going to be acceptable. Assuming a family members of you, a one family member of yours has a problem with financial management. Every time they come to you, they want a loan. And yes, you in Christ acting in love, grant them a loan. Today is $1,000, tomorrow a couple of $1,000s. And every time they go out there, they blow it as if there is no tomorrow. They don't even do anything meaningful with it, just blow it as if, and then they come back to you and say, brother, listen, I'm in a financial strait. Can you help me out? Then what you're going to tell them is that go to Bank of America and talk to the manager and see whether you can get a loan. The reason you got to put a boundary there is simple. You have to send a message that love without boundary is going to lead to a state of rottenness. But love with boundary is what is called tough love, where you are able to say to people that, listen, I'm going to love you with the love of Jesus, but I'm really going to have to love you with some tough love. And isn't this what God does for us? That we just don't do anything because God loves us? No, God puts boundaries in place. God tells us some things are yea and some things are nay. God tells us this is where you need to go. This is. God tells us that because God wants the best for each and every one of us. And he puts boundaries. So listen to me. You got to look at your situation. I don't know what all the situations anyone has gone through, but you look at your situation and begin to put in place some essential, healthy, and achievable. Don't put something you're going to achieve. Achievable boundaries in place so that in that family dynamics, the message can go forth that, listen, I love you, but I'm not going to tolerate your shenanigans. And when you do that, you are going to help that family begin to heal. And it's going to be good for your whole mental and emotional health. The third thing I believe the Bible calls us to do is this. We got to make our family our prayer project. You got to write that down, everybody, this morning. Make your family your prayer project. You know, at times you can operate on the principle of love. At times, you can put boundary in place and still try to walk through. And there can still be this unhealthy dynamic still existing in your family. You know, you just don't give up and say, well, I've done it all. I'm giving up right here. No. You don't do that as a Christian. We can give up on people. We can give up on those that the Lord has placed us in among. God placed you in that family for a reason. God opened your eyes to see for a reason. God elected you to himself for a reason. Perhaps you are the missing link spiritually. You are called to stand in a gap. So what you do in that situation is this. You have to make them your family, your prayer project. What do I mean by that? Make them the focus of your prayer. You need to devote substantial amount of time daily praying for your family. You know, praying for your family. Let me give you some helpful ways that you can do it. You know, one way that this can be done is that, you know, if you can daily to devote like 15 minutes of specific prayer need for your family. And you can list different areas that you believe this is going to be needed in my family. Perhaps my family is riddled with conflict. Perhaps my family is riddled with infighting. Perhaps my brothers or you're in a situation of sibling rivalry. Then you got to list those prayer needs and begin to devote time. You might devote at least a minimum 15 minutes. Begin to pray not only for your own heart as a member of that family, but begin to pray specifically for individuals in that family. Begin to pray for the move of God within your family. Begin to pray that God will begin to move in such a way that your family will be healed. God will begin to move in such a way to break every satanic hold. God will begin to move in such a way to release his anointing. God will begin to move in such a way to break the stronghold that the enemy wants to place in your family. God will begin to move in such a way that he will release his mercy upon your family. And also, listen, not only prayer, you might want to devote time to fasting sometime. You might want to devote time to fasting because some issues might be generational. Watch what I'm saying this morning. Some issues in your family line that is causing those dysfunctionality might be generational, and you want to be able to break those generational dysfunctionality. You want to be able to break those generational judgment, and you want to be able to seek the face of God and say, Lord, I'm standing in the gap that you can make us a transition, that the generations to come will not inherit the dysfunctionality of this generation. But Lord, you will move in such a way you will begin to break every stronghold of the enemy. You'll begin to break every power of darkness. And I truly believe that when you pray such a prayer, God responds. God moves in his mercy, and it can heal your family. This is the final point this morning I'm going to give to you, everybody. You know, when you've done all you can, always leave the light on. Always leave the light on. You might say, Pastor Wally, what does this mean? Well, it's one of the sayings of Motel 6. I don't know whether you've heard about that. I don't visit it, but it's just something that I caught up with. And they always say this, they would leave the light on for you. And what essentially they mean is simple. Whatever the time of the day or night, you're welcome. You know, a light on symbolizes welcome. You know, at times in some of the cases of our family dysfunctionalities, you know, you might have done all that you can. You might have extended the love and you have been rejected. You try to be civil and they all act as if something is wrong with them. You know, and it's easy to say, you know what, I've prayed and prayed, nothing changes. I'm just going to give them what they deserve. An eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Well, that's not the way to go as a Christian. Whatever you do, even as you're praying, always leave the light on for them. Let them know that your heart is never closed to them. Let them understand that they're always welcomed. Let them understand that whenever or whatever may be the case, you will always be there for them as a brother, as a son, as a daughter, as a sister, to restore the relationship. Listen, loved ones, this morning, God wants to heal your dysfunctional state of family relationship. God wants to heal you mentally and emotionally. But God wants you to understand, you follow the teachings of my word, and there will be the light at the end of the tunnel. May God this morning give us all the grace to be men and women who will leave the light on for others to see. Our Father and our God, this morning, O Lord, we do thank thee for the opportunity that was given us this morning to gather in this place. Holy Ghost, we now pray that I will bless the declaration of thy word. Let thy people know this morning that indeed the Lord is among us. Bless my Father, I pray, the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray.